So we are discussing chapter 8, and in the last webinar we found out that Arjuna had asked 7 questions based on the last chapter, chapter 6, and Krishna is trying to answer all those questions. And what are those questions? Kim tad Brahma, what is Brahman? Kim adhyatmam, what is adhyatmam? Kim karma, what is meant by action? Kim adibhutam, kim adidevam, and adiyajnaha kaha. So these are all questions which Arjuna had asked. And he also asked the 7th question regarding the prayana kalam, antakalam or prayana kalam. And Krishna answered all the above 6 questions in 2 shlokas, in shlokas 3 and 4. And he starts to answer the 7th question regarding prayana kalam from the 5th shloka, which we will read today. Shloka number 5, chapter 8. Antakale cha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram ya prayati samadbhavam yati nasyatra samshayaha. So Krishna now tries to address the 7th question. And what was that question, if you remember? Prayana kale cha katam nyeyosi viyatatma bihi. Niyatatma bihi was the question. Prayana kale cha katam nyeyosi niyatatma bihi. How are you to be remembered? How are you going to remember at the time of death the Lord? Prayana kale, at the time of marana kale, or at the time of death? So that was the question of Arjuna. And the entire chapter, beginning from shloka number 5 of the 8th chapter, that is going to be an answer to this question of Arjuna. And incidentally also, Krishna gives many other information connected to this, and we are going to see all of them in detail. And what is the topic? As we discussed earlier in the introduction itself, if a person meditates upon the Saguna Ishvara, he is called an Upasaka. We have already seen these definitions earlier. If anyone meditates upon the Saguna Ishvara, and if the Upasaka sticks on to the Saguna Upasana, and at the time of death, at that time also, if he practices this Saguna Upasana, remembering the Lord, and if he leaves the body, if he dies, then after death, he will go to Brahmaloka. So among the various Punyalokas, he will go to Brahmaloka if he remembers the Lord at the time of death, if he is a Saguna Upasaka. And having gone to Brahmaloka, there he will gain the knowledge, self-knowledge. Brahmaji himself is there, so he will gain the knowledge there. And then he will be liberated, which we have called at that time as Krama Mukti. That is Mukti in stages. Unlike Jivan Mukti, where Mukti is right here and now, this is Krama Mukti. After death, he goes to Brahmaloka. There he gains knowledge, and then he gains Mukti at that time. First, Krishna now wants to talk about the benefit of Antakala Smaranam. What is the benefit of remembering the Lord at the time of death? That is what Krishna is going to address now. The advantage of Antakala Smaranam. And thereafterwards, he will tell how to do that, how to remember the Lord at the time of death, because that is not at our hands. How to remember the Lord at the time of death, Krishna is going to tell you also the yukti, how to do that. So here two questions are involved. One, first question is what? Lord's remembrance of the Lord at the time of death and the accompanying benefit of that. And number two, how can a person manage to remember the Lord at the time of death? Because even in day-to-day life, when one small problem comes, we do not remember the Lord. The moment a small problem comes or even some great thing comes, we immediately forget the Lord and go towards that. How can a person do remember the Lord at the time of death? And what is the benefit if he remembers the Lord at the time of death? So that are the questions. Now Krishna tells the benefit part of it here. And what is that? If a person remembers the Lord, after death, he will attain the Lord. That is the answer. If a person remembers the Lord at the time of death, after death, he will attain the Lord. Ishvara smaranena, Ishvaram prapnoti. Person will attain the Lord. Okay. But there also we have to remember another thing. In Saguna Upasana also, we may remember the Lord as the Lord of wealth. For example, a person may be doing Saguna Upasana and he may be doing the Upasana thinking of the Lord as the Lord of wealth. Then naturally, what will be our desire? Our desire will be wealth only. So in the next Janma, that person will not get Ishvara Prapti. He will not get Ishvara, but he will be born a rich person. He will get a lot of wealth, but he will not get Ishvara Prapti. So if we meditate upon the Lord as the Lord of only a particular aspect, wealth, health, education, material prosperity, or well-being, then also Ishvara Prapti will not come. One will get maybe that material wealth, that well-being one can get, but he will not get Ishvara Prapti. For that, a person should meditate upon the Lord as the total. So Ishvara Smaranam, when we say Ishvara Smaranam at the time of death, we have to understand that clearly. We can have any Ishta Devata. That is all right. Mahaganapati for some people. It could be any Subramanya, Lord Subramanya, Rama, Krishna, doesn't matter. Any Ishta Devata is all right. But the concept of Ishta Devata should be that it is the total. It is not any particular Devata presiding over any particular aspect like Mahalakshmi for wealth, Shakti for valor. It should not be like that. It should be the total. So I can have any form for Upasana, but it should represent not a small thing or a separate thing, but it should represent the total. Okay. If it represents the total, then what is the highest in Saguna, Saguna Upasana? If it represents the total, what is the highest in Saguna? It is Hiranyagarbha. We have already seen this term earlier. Hiranyagarbha represents the total, or Virat alone. And so the Upasana should be Hiranyagarbha Upasana only. It cannot be some any Ishta Devata like Ganapati or Subramanya or anything. It should be the Hiranyagarbha Upasana. One can think of Mahaganapati, that is fine. But one has to think of Mahaganapati as representing Hiranyagarbha, not just any localized Devata. So Krishna or Rama or Ganapati must indicate Hiranyagarbha only, because we cannot directly meditate on Hiranyagarbha, which is total. For the mind to meditate directly on Hiranyagarbha is difficult. So one can use the symbol of any of the other devatas, Ishta Devatas, as a symbolic this thing only, but one has to think of the total. So whatever Ishta Devata we have, that Ishta Devata should symbolize the total only. And that is what is said here. Mameva smaranne. Here Krishna is talking about Hiranyagarbha. When he says Mameva, he talks about, Mam refers to Hiranyagarbha, the highest in Saguna Devata. That's what he is talking about. So Mameva smaran kalevaram muktva. Meditating upon me, the Hiranyagarbha, if a person leaves the body, kalevaram means shariram, the body, muktva, having left, leaving the body, and when should one remember? Antakale. So at the final time, at the final moment, at the time of death, if a person remembers me as the total, mamanusmara, so mamemasmaranam. So remembering Hiranyagarbha alone as the at the final moment, if a person leaves the body, then what happens to him? Saha madbhavam yati. That person attains my nature. Madbhavam, my nature, he attains. That is, initially he attains the Hiranyagarbha loka, Brahma loka. Afterwards, he attains the Brahma bhava. That is, after knowledge. Brahma bhava means he gains self-knowledge. So after knowledge he gets. So he attains my nature in stages. He attains krama mukti. It is not jivan mukti. It is krama mukti. And he says, atra samshayaha nasti. There is no doubt at all in this regard. Krishna assures. But we should remember here, what type of seeker is intended here, we should understand. When we talk about this Karma Mukti and all, what type of seeker is intended here? Here we should not confuse with our Vedanta topic. Vedanta topic and this Karma Mukti, this is Karma Mukti topic. We are talking about a person here who has never come to Vedanta at all. He is a Saguna Upasaka. He never came to any Vedanta Vichara at all. Who has done lot of karma. He has done very punya karmas very well. And who has been practicing throughout his life Saguna Upasana. Thinking of this God or a particular Ishta Devata or even total Saguna Upasana. He has never come to Vedanta Vichara at all. But one thing, what he has got? He has got interest in Mukti. Moksha he has interest in. Somehow, either the Guru was not available or the circumstances were not conducive. So, for some reason or the other, he was not able to come to Vedanta Vichara. But he has been doing only Saguna Upasana all the time. He has Vairagyam to a very great extent. And so, without coming to Vedanta Vichara, this person is desiring Mukti. That's what he is doing. He has not gone into Vedanta. He has not gone into Jnana Marga at all. But he knows about Mukti. So, he wants to get Moksha. And the only thing he knows is what? The highest in Saguna Upasana, Saguna Devata, is Hiranyagarbha, that he knows, the total. So he continues to practice the Upasana and remembers the Lord at the time of death as Hiranyagarbha, then naturally he will go to Brahmaloka. This person at the time of death will go to Brahmaloka. There he gets the opportunity to get knowledge and get liberated because he is Brahmaji himself is there. So he Chaturmukha Brahma. When we say Brahmaloka, it is Chaturmukha Brahma, the Brahma with four faces, the creator. So this is one type of seeker who remains in Saguna field, but he wants to attain Mukti or Moksha. Okay. Now there can be another type of sadhaka also, Upasaka, who also remains in Saguna field, but does not desire Mukti. He doesn't want any Moksha or any of those things. He wants various other worldly benefits. He will not get Krama Mukti then, because since his desires are only worldly desires, so as a result of Upasana, he will come to any one of the lokas, Swarga Loka, Bhu Loka, or any other lokas he will go. This is the second type, because he has done a lot of punya, done good karmas, but he did not want Mukti. So he will go to any other punya lokas and enjoy all the benefits of his punya. And then there is a third type of seeker. He is a person who has been doing Saguna Upasana, but later comes to Vedanta Vichara. Always he has been doing Saguna Upasana only, but later he came to Vedanta Vichara. And then after coming to Vedanta Vichara, he gets the knowledge, suppose. Let us assume he gets the knowledge. Then there is no question of Hiranyagarbha Upasana or anything at all, because throughout the life, he is established in Aham Brahma Asmi, because he has got knowledge. So this is the third category, where he was doing Saguna Upasana, but came to Vedanta Vichara at the later part of the life, or whatever time it is, and there he also got the knowledge, then he will go to Moksha, he will be liberated right then and there. For him, the phalam is what? Sadyo Muktihi, while living itself, he will get Moksha. And Videha Mukti, he will get after death. And this is the third type. And there could be another type. For example, a person comes to Vedanta Vichara. He comes to Jnana Marga, but he does not get Jnana Nishta. In the previous case, he came to Jnana Marga, but he also got Jnana Nishta. Whereas in this case, this person does not get Jnana Nishta. He becomes a Yoga Brashta. Before getting Jnanam, Prarabdha ended. So he died. So he became a Yoga Brashta. What will happen to him? Which we saw actually the end of the sixth chapter. We cannot talk about Krama Mukti or anything else for him, because he has already come to Vedanta Vichara, so no Krama Mukti. Therefore, for that person, he will get human life again, in which he can get the knowledge and he can get liberated. So after coming to Vedanta Vichara, either we get Jivan Mukti or in the next Janma, one can get Jivan Mukti. But if you don't come to Vedanta Vichara at all, remain in Samguna Upasana, we can get either Krama Mukti or one can be born again and again, Punarapi Maranam, Punarapi Jananam. So here the context is what? A person who has come to Vedanta, who has not come to Vedanta at all, is the topic here. We are talking about eighth chapter. A person who has not come to Vedanta Vichara at all. Such a person, in his final moment, remembering Hiranyagarbha, attains the Brahma Padam through Krama Mukti. There is no doubt at all. Sloka 6. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajatyante kalevaram tam tame vaiti kaunteya sadadattadbhava bhavitaha. So Krishna said in the previous shloka that remembering me at the time of death, that seeker will attain me after death. Now, what is the logic behind it? That will be the question. At the time of death alone, if a person remembers the Lord, he reaches the Lord, means what? What is the logic for that? So Krishna gives a general law here in this shloka, a general rule. And what is that rule? Whenever a person remembers at the time of death, whatever he remembers, that he becomes in the next Janma. So whatever he thinks of at the time of death, he becomes that in the next Janma. This is the general rule that he gives here. Yam yam bhavam smaran kalevaram tyajati. Whatever form one remembers, bhavam, an object here, person, being. Whatever a person remembers, when, ante, at the time of death, so antakale, maranakale, prayana samaye, we can put any of those things, and kalevaram tyajati, leaves the body. Kalevaram means body, shariram. Tyajati, he leaves. So leaves the body, what happens to him? Tam tam eva eti. Only that particular bhavam alone, that particular type of birth alone, he attains in the next Janma. Kaunteya, addressing Arjuna as was Kaunteya, son of Kunti. So that is true also actually, because we can imagine there are, let us say, 10 or 15 people are getting out of the room after a class or whatever it is. And after that, they disperse. And where do they find themselves in the next moment? If you think, for example, all of them are leaving the same room, but where they reach depends on what sankalpa intention they have. Each one will have a different sankalpa. Each one may have a different intention. So depending on that, they will reach different places. Because if it is your intention that you should be there in your home for breakfast or lunch or whatever, there is a breakfast desire and a sankalpa for that. And so that is already there in the mind when you leave the class, or even 10 minutes before the class, whatever time, sometime. And closer to the end, the stronger the thought will be centered towards the breakfast or lunch. So the sankalpa, I may not be able to see it, but it will be occurring in your mind. So even if you don't know that, automatically from the subconsciousness, it comes out. So if that is true in the common worldly experience itself, the life itself is a big journey like that. And just you leave your home and go to the office, leave office and go somewhere else. So going to every place and coming out is there always. So similarly, going to every body and coming out of that body and going to another body is also like another type of a journey only. After death, go into another body and then live in that body for some time. Prarabdha is exhausted, then take another body, keeps on continuing. So what body I should enter next? Already the sankalpa would have arisen in the mind, antakale. And there also, there is a lot of conflict, for example. There may be, for example, a plan that I should go to this place or that place. There are always choices, whether to go to this place or that place. But even though different sankalpas may be there, all these feeble sankalpas will be overcome by one strong sankalpa. I may be dilly-dallying, want to go here, want to go there. So many things I may be thinking, but there could be one strong desire, one strong sankalpa that will be there, only that will dominate. So which alone will decide my journey? Because before action, you must have only one sankalpa before executing the action. So with two sankalpas, you can never do any action. If you have multiple sankalpas, you can never do any action. For doing a particular action, you have to have a sankalpa. So because if one is going to the, for example, right side, then another goes to the left side, there is always a conflict. But ultimately, if we have to move, we have to move only one based on one sankalpa. So you might have different sankalpas, but just before action, action can crystallize only when one sankalpa has been thrown out of all of the sankalpas. Similarly, throughout our life, we have so many ambitions. Some people want to have richer life. Some people want to have a good family life. Some other people want to have a lot of good relationships. Some may like even an animal life because they think animal life has more freedom. No ethics, no morality and all that thing. They want to be free. And some people like the life of a devas. So we can have different ambitions. But one can see as we grow in life, one particular ambition alone becomes stronger and stronger. In addition to that, the prarabdha sankalpa also is there. We are driven by prarabdha also. And as we are going to die, the sanjita karma also will come into the play. It will also come into view. And so thus there is a clash. Always there will be a clash. So at the time of death, there will be one powerful sankalpa. And that is the one which comes in the form of a thought. That alone decides the direction of the next janma. That's what Krishna says. So he says, yam yam vapi smaran tyajati tam tameva yeti. So that, then one may argue perhaps here, it is very nice law, very nice to hear, no problem. So it is very good for us because Krishna has said what he has said, that the final thought will determine the next birth. Final thought will determine next birth. So what we should do, what? At the time of death, we should make sure that we have wonderful thoughts. That's all we need to do. Let it be rubbish all other times. In the entire life, I can be doing anything. So just at the time of death only, I should make sure that I have a good thought. So if what normally we do at the time of death, we ask everybody to chant Vishnu Sahasranama. The people normally recite it in the right ear and all that thing they do. Karna mantra, all that thing, people do that. So Krishna is going to say that it is impossible to think that I will think what I want to think at the time of death. Because the thought of the mind is not only purely determined by your will, it is also determined by the past samskaras, the recordings. That's all that is there in the memory, the habits. Any thought at a moment is not determined by your will alone. It is also governed by the samskaras. Thus, the samskaras and will put together operate at the time of death. At the early years of life, much samskaras have not been formed. We have not done so many actions. Not many samskaras have been formed. And so the willpower is stronger when we are younger because we don't have any other samskaras. As a baby, I have not gathered much. So may still, I willpower is still stronger. And as I grow to 60 or 70, many habits or ways of things have been formed in the mind. And so the samskaras are very, very powerful. And not only that, as I grow old, willpower becomes weaker also. Old age means what? Weakening of every faculty, including willpower. Willpower means my free will. And in fact, towards death, willpower is almost non-existent or at least very, very, very weak. Therefore, at the time of death, if I want to think of noble things, if the samskaras are ignoble, certainly those thoughts will overpower all my noble intentions. For example, we can imagine, I have been thinking of money only throughout my life, soaking in body, dressing, traveling, all that thing. So at the time of death, that alone is going to dominate the mind because that is what I have been practicing all through my life. So it will be impossible. You may have Vishnu Sahasranama or any of those things recited in your ears. some namas, maybe your relatives also, only such namas only will be remembered, not the actual Mahavishnu. So you might have had a cousin called Narayana, to whom you might have lent maybe some $100 or $1,000 or $10,000. And you think of that Narayana, to whom you lent the money, not the Narayana Mahavishnu, but this Narayana to whom you lent the money. So no one, including God, can help that person. So Krishna says, Sada Tadbhava Bhavita, Tadbhava Bhavita. Constantly engaged in the thought of the Lord. That is what a person should do throughout the life. When you sneeze, you call Krishna. When you sit down, call Rama. When you get up, call Krishna. All the time, the mind, even every action that we do, the remembrance of the Lord, uttering Lord's name, should become mechanical almost. That is why at the time of death, when free will is not almost non-existent, we will mechanically, when pain comes, mechanically we will say Ram and Krishna, remembering that Ram only. So that is how it should become a second nature. So Sada Tadbhava Bhavita, always. So if a person remembers the Lord at the time of death also, actually then, so now it involves two things now. Constantly engaged in the thought of the Lord. So Sada Sadbhava Bhavitaha. Bhava means thought, and Bhavitaha means engaged in, absorbed in. So constantly absorbed in the thought of the Lord throughout the life, a person is doing that. So if a person remembers the Lord at the time of death also, that is, maintains that thought of the Lord at the time of death also, then remembrance of the Lord at the time of death will be easier, because willpower is not necessary for that. It is almost mechanical. He will just think of the Lord as mechanically. So even if he is in coma, the person is coma, the mouth may be still uttering something without his knowledge. And what utterance will come? If he has been only scolding people all along this life, only scolding will come at the time of death also. Even if he is in coma, he will become that only then. Or if Krishna, Rama, Govinda, etc., subconscious mind will bring out only those names, then that person will be thinking of that Lord only. As Gandhiji said, in spite of his political involvement, in his mind, the one thing was, hey, Ram. That was what he was having all the time. And that is why when someone shot at him, what came out of his mouth? Hey, Ram only came. Because he has been practicing it all through the life, and just 2 days before also this has happened. So remembering the Lord at that time, if a person dies with that thought, he will attain the Lord only. So yam vapim smaran bhavam tyajatyante kalevaram tam tameveti kaimteya sadam tadbhava bhavitaha. So that is what the shloka is. So what is the conclusion? It's a very important conclusion, and Krishna is bringing it out in the 7th shloka. Shloka 7. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mamanusmara yudhyacha mayyar pitamano buddhihi mame vaishyasya samshayam. So tasmat means therefore, kasmat, since the final thought determines the next janma. And also, since the final thought is determined by the dominant thought in my life, throughout the life, so tasma, therefore, sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara. Mam anusmara, remember me. Remember me means what? Which me? The saguna me, not the nirguna me. Here we are talking of saguna me. So talking, remember me, the saguna, when? At all times, sarveshu kaleshu. Let there be only Ishvara Smaranam all the time. Then what will happen? Marana Kale Api. There will be Ishvara Smaranam only. At the time of death also, only the thought about the Ishvara alone will be there. And then after the Maranam, his Gati will be Ishvara Prapti only. He will reach only Ishvara. And this alone is very, very dramatically described in the Puranas. Puranas gives a lot of stories describing all these things, like the Bhagavatam and all that thing. For many of the people, the scene of death is so beautifully described in these Puranas. They have violent activity, very much involved in household vyavaharas, fighting, so many things are going on. But once the time of death comes, they ask all the people to go away. There is this Kunti Stuti, there is Bhishma Stuti. At the time of death, they dismiss all people and they think of the Lord. Bhishma calls Krishna and seeing him, he praises him in Saguna form and Nirguna form. And then he perishes. So it is only giving us the example that we could be in the midst of all vyavaharas, all activities, children, grandchildren, family, all those things. We should love them all. There's no problem. But gradually, one should withdraw and replace all the thoughts of husband, wife, children, property, money, wealth, everything, fame, with the thoughts of God. So one has to gradually do that. But taking care of all, fulfilling all commitments, responsibilities, love, all those things should be done. But gradually one should withdraw and center the thinking on Lord. So at the time of death, I should die only with the pure God thought alone. That should be my motive. So even though Saguna, that Lord may be Saguna Ishvara, that itself is a great achievement to be thinking of the Lord at the time of death, even if it is Saguna Ishvara. So this is the aim of life prescribed in the Shastras. Shastras tells always do that. That's why they say you so many times do Rama Japa, this, that and all, essentially to gear up the mind to be in this manner. That is, they had all the four ashramas. That is the Grahastha Ashrama. That is the maximum involvement. Vanaprastha Ashrama is mostly a training period only towards the next ashrama, namely Sannyasa Ashrama, where it is total withdrawal. So we don't have to give importance to the physical ashrama, whether it is Grahastha Ashrama, Vanaprastha Ashrama. We don't have to give importance to the physical ashrama. It is like changing the dress, etc. Remaining in Grahastha Ashrama itself, I can be a Vanaprasthi or a Sannyasi. I can be doing that. This is very, very important step prescribed in all the Puranas. Puranas always talk about it all the time. And here Krishna puts it in a very simple form. Sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara. Think of me all the time. Okay, if I am going to remember the Lord alone all the time, then who is going to do my duty? Because I have a lot of... Now we can open up for any discussion, any questions. Let me see whether there are any hands raised. No hands raised. Let me now see questions. During our waking state, we are engaged in action physically or mentally from the time we get up till we go to bed. You have long questions. Since whatever we practice most gets reinforced, and if we practice looking within only for a few minutes in morning and evening and rest of the time get caught up with the names and forms, how can the mind think of Atma at the time of death? That's what the entire topic today was, that it has to be practiced all the time. You may be thinking superficially on so many things, but bring the mind back, and at the back of the mind, the Sthayi Bhavam, that's what I said, constantly Ishvara Dhyanam should be there. Initially, it is difficult. That's what we mentioned also. Initially, it is difficult. But we have to go on practicing it till it becomes mechanical. Thought about the Ishvara should become mechanical. That's what I said. When you sneeze, call Krishna. When you sit up, call Rama. When you get up, call somebody. Always, all the time, think of the Lord only. Lord's name should come to your mind, to your at the mouth, mechanically. That is Abhyasa. We have to keep on doing it. Okay, if the thought of Atma work in the sense of gratitude, gradually then Atma thought becomes mechanical. Yes, Atma knowledge is reinforced while doing karma, correct. Then the likes and dislikes, yeah, they are all correct. So Atma is oneself, they are all correct. If someone helps us in our daily lives, so should we not be thankful? Yeah, you all those things are all value systems. Somebody is helping you, be thankful. That is all fine. No problem at all. But all the time, there may be relationship, everything will be there, no problem at all. But understand, they are all at the Nama Rupa level. At the back of the mind, think of only Ishvara for all those things. That is how mind should be practiced. It is a practice, Abhyasa. Thanks so much. Many happy Deepavali Namaskaram. Thank you very much, Radha. All the best to you also. Happy Deepavali. And Ishvara Sharanam. Shukam. Okay, good. Thank you. So anyway, if there are no more questions from anybody, I wish you all a happy Deepavali. And we will see after Deepavali. We will continue the discussion after Deepavali. I hope there is no other question. Any other hands raised? No. Okay, I'm going to sign off now. Thank you.